It is the State Capitol Report on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The State Health Department has another $8 million coming from legal settlements with major pharmaceutical distributors over the opioid crisis. Call in with your questions about how this new funding or the state's broader response to the destruction caused by highly addictive painkillers. Share how you want the settlement funds to be used. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Paul Krupski is here, Director of Opioid Initiatives for the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Paul, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you for having me back. Really appreciate it.
Good morning. So, State Health Department working to finalize numbers for opioid overdose deaths and other numbers in Wisconsin last year. What do your preliminary figures show?
Yeah, we have been able to finalize all of our data from the year 2021, and unfortunately, the final data shows what we expected, which was yet another record high for opioid-related deaths in Wisconsin, just over 1,400. And this continued the trend that we are seeing nationally, where unfortunately opioid-related deaths continue to increase. This is a trend that we have seen now for the past several years, really since the pandemic, that just obviously created a lot of challenges within people's lives, and also some challenges initially with just making sure that services were still available and individuals understanding that those care and services were still available to them. So we need to continue to do all the work that we have been doing, continue to expand and enhance those efforts that we know are helping people and are getting them the care and treatment that they need, so that we can once again turn the tide on the opioid epidemic here in our state and begin to see decreases in the number of deaths related to opioids.
2021's count of deaths, 1,427, that was a record. What about 2022?
Well, it's still too early to tell. Okay. We do put up some preliminary data as we receive it. For the previous year, I believe we have preliminary data up on our webpage through June of 2022. And it shows that at this point we're unfortunately, looking at the same pace, but, that number is not will not be frozen, until, later this year, again, fall, late winter. There has been some, delays in receiving the data just because coroner and medical examiner offices continue to be just challenged, you know, with everything that came their way through the pandemic. And so until we get all that, those finalized death records and know what the cause of death are, it just takes us longer to do that. But preliminary data that we do have through 2022, unfortunately, shows that we're probably about the same rate, maybe a little less right now, but still to be determined and a little too early to show there. But I think, you know, the key is that we have a comprehensive approach that the department has had in place for, you know, going on close to a decade now. And I'd just like to always remind everybody, you know, who's listening to this show and when I'm out speaking across the state, that pre-pandemic, we began to see decreases. We saw the first significant decrease in opioid-related deaths in our state in nearly two decades. So we know the work that we are doing was making a difference. We know it was creating positive outcomes in our community, not just saving lives, but preventing individuals from even beginning to use opioids or other substances in the first place, and just making sure that people have those care and treatment services that they need, recovery services as well, available to them. So we know we can turn this around. We know the plan that we have in place, the work that we're doing was making that difference. But again, just as with so many things in life, the pandemic created a lot of changes. So we just have to get back on track and get people back into those services that they need.
And, you know, in the past, you've blamed that pandemic isolation on the rising numbers of opioid deaths. But pandemic isolation is now behind us. Now, what can you attribute what you're seeing in the data?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, definitely the isolation was what was played a part in what was seen across the country. But we also have to remember that just those increased levels of stress and anxiety played a huge role. Individuals that don't have healthy coping skills or coping mechanisms available to them, unfortunately, will a lot of times turn to substance use. And today is no different. People are still dealing with high levels of stress and anxiety from those issues caused by the pandemic, right? That could be loss of job, other health issues that there were created. So there's that issue as well. But the other thing, Kate, that just continues to ravage this country, and Wisconsin is no different, is the prevalence of fentanyl throughout the drug supply. That has just really taken over and has created a lot of challenges for this country in addressing the opioid crisis. If you look at our data, I think you mentioned specifically for 2021, which is our most recent, with 1,427 opioid-related deaths. Just under 1,300 of those, 1,293, had fentanyl present. That is an alarming number, and so that is fentanyl present. With not just other opioids like heroin, but also fentanyl mixed with methamphetamine, fentanyl mixed with cocaine. So it's really now becoming more of a polysubstance epidemic. We need to make sure that we are reaching out to individuals who are using any type of substances, so they are aware of the potency of fentanyl, the fact that it could be present in what the substance they're using, and how deadly it is.
What impact has decriminalizing fentanyl test strips last year had on this crisis?
I think that it's a great step. It's definitely another tool in the toolbox, and one that we will continue to expand. It's definitely one that we are, still getting off the ground from a department standpoint and supporting across the state. At the end of last year, we were able to begin distributing fentanyl test strips across the state. We currently partner with over 60 providers, local public health departments, tribal health clinics, syringe service programs, where individuals can obtain fentanyl test strips for free. We want to make sure that we're getting those in the hands of individuals who need it the most. We distributed those test strips, as I said, at the end of last year. And you can go on our website, on the DHS website, to see those list of providers and be able to know where you can go in your community to get those free.
We're getting an update on the opioid crisis in Wisconsin with Paul Krupski, Director of Opioid Initiatives for the State Health Department. You can join in with your questions, your stories, 800-642-1234. Paul, in animal tranquilizer, xylazine is leading to thousands of overdoses and an alarming side effects nationwide. That's according to the White House Office of National Drug Control. What is happening in Wisconsin with xylazine?
Yeah, Kate, I think unfortunately, what we see is just that the opioid epidemic continues to evolve. And it's our job to continue to monitor that through the data collection that we have and other surveillance efforts, so that we know how to best respond to that. And unfortunately, what we see is other drugs like xylazine that you mentioned, which is an animal tranquilizer, are being mixed in with different substances. And that's why it's important for us to monitor that. Now, you're correct. It has, what the White House said is obviously accurate, and it really has hit certain communities throughout the and states throughout our country very hard, specifically around our East Coast. But here in Wisconsin, thankfully, it is definitely present. But here in Wisconsin, we have not seen it as really a main or a leading factor in what is happening. Our Wisconsin State Lab of Hygiene really does a good job in monitoring this. They do testing for xylazine in OWI and also coroner and medical examiner submissions. Their 2022 data is not finalized yet, but the last numbers that were shared with me, there were over 22,000 submissions, and only 13 of those showed that xylazine was present. So it's important for us to note that it is here, that we are seeing it, but it is very minimal in what we are seeing. So one of those things that we have to continue to monitor, like so many other things, but as I mentioned previously, fentanyl and other synthetic opioids are clearly the driver here in our state of what's happening, and our primary response effort focuses on that.
let's talk about the anti-overdose medication Narcan. These kits now in residence halls on a number of campus buildings across the state. UW campuses have joined this effort. Where in Wisconsin are Narcan kits needed?
I think it's really great to see, the UW system take a step like that to prioritize putting Nalox boxes with Narcan and other supplies such as breathing masks, in their residence halls so that students and others have the opportunity to access that should someone be experiencing a suspected opioid overdose. And I think, the answer to your question, Kate, is anywhere and everywhere. We are really trying. It's a difficult task because it takes a lot of funding to get it into anywhere and everywhere. But that's really our goal, because all of us could be anywhere at any time during our day and experience somebody who is or come across somebody who is experiencing an overdose. And so we want to make sure that it's just readily available, that everybody has access to it and knows when to get it. And so this is getting placed throughout our state. We have efforts specifically in places such as bathrooms at gas stations and convenience stores, hotels and motels, local public health department and tribal health clinic buildings, treatment providers like our opioid treatment programs, just all around the state is where we're really trying to get them placed. And, there's really no wrong answer, I think, for where they're needed.
Paul Krupski is director of opioid initiatives at the State Department of Health Services. Call in any time with your stories, your questions about fighting opioid addiction in your community, in your family, 800-642-1234. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wisconsin is slated to receive at least $400 million from national opioid settlement litigation with the major drug makers and distributors. And Wisconsin has been seeking input on where to boost resources, targeting these funds to help stem the epidemic. Call in with your questions, your thoughts, anytime, 800-642-1234. Paul Krupski is director of opioid initiatives for the Wisconsin Department of Health Services and stays with us. So, Paul, the DHS is seeking public input on how to use a second round of settlement funds, about $8 million available. What is the vision for this money?
Yes. So last year was the first year that the state began to receive funding from the National Prescription Opioid Litigation settlements. And as we move into 2023, still just the two settlements that you mentioned are the only ones that have been reached, but there are others that are still in the litigation process. And so our second year of funds that we are receiving from those is just about $8 million. And just as we did last year, we're seeking public input to help provide thoughts and information and guidance on what the department plans to propose to the legislature to seek approval to expend those funds. And I think, last year, something that was, just really reaffirming was that what we heard from the public was the investments that we are making and what we are prioritizing is what people want to see. They just want more of it. As I mentioned previously to one of the other questions, we just need to continue to expand and enhance the services that we are doing. And this goes across the continuum of care from prevention to harm reduction to treatment and recovery. So we're really looking again for that feedback. We want to make sure that we are continue to be on the right path. And then we'll do all the other things that we do, to make sure we're making data-driven decisions within the department, looking at all of the data and surveillance that we have, the evaluation and impacts that our programs and strategies are providing, and we'll put forth a plan again to the legislature for approval in a few months.
When we talked last in April, you had mentioned that one of the things that came up in listening sessions was, more education about opioids in high schools and in the school settings. Are high schools improving how they teach teens about opioids?
Well, I think you have a great memory, because that is definitely the number one thing that we heard from people last year from the citizens of Wisconsin, was that they wanted more being done in our K-12 setting. They did not think there was enough prevention programming that was going on in our schools due to limited funding primarily. And so we wanted to make sure that was targeted. Through the plan that we submitted last year, there was some funding that went to that. The legislature did cut that a little bit, but they did keep it in there. And then they also added another strategy for specifically a community-based nonprofit that does after-school programming, so that they can provide prevention efforts there. So there is funding that is going to that. I would be shocked if we don't hear that same type of feedback this year as well. And I'm sure it will be something that we prioritize and put in our plan that we put forward to the legislature. I can't speak in depth as to what level of programming is currently taking place in not just high school, but in the elementary and middle school settings. But I would say that probably not enough. And again, that's due to funding. So if we have this opportunity to provide more funds so that schools can do that, that's only going to better the outcomes later in life.
Let's bring on a call now. Laura in Keeler is with us. Laura, hi.
Good morning. So I'm a first responder, and we were at a training just all day Saturday, and we were talking about the expense of Narcan and other reactive drugs, and then their shelf life and how they expire. And for our unit, we're all volunteers. We're not really getting, money from calls, because we're not an A service. So having money that could go to these local or rural volunteer departments would really help out, especially when we do have supplies and they expire and we just have to throw them away.
Laura, thank you for bringing this to the table. Appreciate it. Paul, go ahead.
Yeah, Laura, thank you for your call. Really great point and great question. And so a couple things to mention really quick on that. One is that the department does support our Narcan Direct program. We're moving into our fourth year of that. And this is where we provide Narcan free of charge to providers around the state. And those provider types vary. But right now, EMS agencies are not eligible for that. But they can partner with any Narcan Direct provider in their community and then obtain free Narcan that way. So I would really encourage you to go to our website, find if there is a Narcan Direct provider in your county or in your community, and then connect with them to see if you are able to access some free a free stock that way. The other thing that I'll mention is specifically with EMS, please do keep your eyes and ears open, because we are going to be having a funding opportunity shortly in the near future that's being supported from last year's settlement funds to specifically provide Narcan and other supplies such as fentanyl test strips to EMS agencies, because we know that is a need. That's one that we have heard loud and clear. And our EMS providers are obviously most of the times first on the scene. So it's very important. Then very quickly, last thing I'd say is that the great thing about Narcan Direct is that it deals with the shelf life concern as best possible. And what I mean by that is you are not just given it up front and then hold on to it. You order it as needed. So as you need it, you receive it. And then that limits the amount of time that actually it's, sitting on your shelf, and then limits those shelf life concerns that some communities do see sometimes.
Talking with Paul Krupski, Director of Opioid Initiatives for the State Health Department. Let's turn now to Governor Evers' State of the State address, calling the year of mental health. Could more attention on mental health also address the opioid crisis?
Oh, 100%. I mean, you know, when we look at supporting individuals who are who have an opioid use disorder diagnosis, we need to be addressing the whole person. And when we say that, we need to make sure that we're not just dealing with the substance use disorder, but that we are also dealing with any mental health or behavioral health issues that an individual might be struggling with. If we're only treating one and not the other, we're not setting the individual up for success and for long-term recovery. So that is absolutely 100%, you know, been the focus of the department and the way that we have tried to invest and support those treatment and recovery services for folks. And the more that we can continue to expand that type of integrated care, the better support we're going to be providing, and care and support we're going to be providing individuals right away, and the better outcomes we're going to have long term.
In our last few seconds together, what is the biggest thing you hope to accomplish this year in your position?
Well, I think every year the goal is to again turn the tide in what we're seeing in Wisconsin and begin to see a decrease in opioid related deaths. You know, I'm really hopeful that, you know, we are eventually, not just in Wisconsin, but as a country, going to again reach a peak and begin to see the tides change. But again, we need to continue to adapt in our response, be on top of what is needed, and then support those efforts and make those investments where we can have the biggest impact. So we want to save lives. That's the number one goal.
Paul, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Paul Krupski is Director of Opioid Initiatives for the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. This is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.